This is the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader.
Allah didn't give us this religion for us to live separately and work only for ourselves individually. You read your holy book, the Quran, our holy book. God gave us this holy book so that we would see our good future in working together, cooperating with each other in all good things, so that we can have a community life. If you want your life by yourself, tell me where you're going to have it if not in a community that's supported by people. You want your life by yourself? You need us to give you space. There's nowhere for you to have a life by yourself without being on somebody's community or in somebody's community. That's your nature. God made all of us like that. He made us to put our life in community and establish our life in community and build our future for our children to come in community. Right. You're working against yourself when you're not working for the interest of the community. Right. And you're not trying to establish yourself in the community. You want to be a doctor? Where are you going to practice? In the community. You want to be a lawyer? Where are you going to practice? In the community. You want to be a drug pusher? You want to sell drugs? Where are you going to establish your business? In the community. I don't care what you want to do. You have to establish it in the community. So why not work for the good of the community? If you put the community good in your heart, you drug dealers, you stop dealing in drugs. Because you love community, the community will become so precious to you, valuable to you, that you will start crying and you start thinking about you're selling your community drugs. You're giving your community problems. You're giving the children of the family of the family and children problems. You start thinking about that with your eyes on living in the community and for the community and stopping yourself. You start crying. Hey, I got to cut this up. I'm working against myself. You'll start to think that way. Community can save us from all kinds of problems that we shouldn't have. That's why God wants to focus on community. Community itself has a way of saving you and purifying your heart. Muhammad, before God missioned him, Muhammad went to God with what? With the burden of his society on his heart. With the burden of a world that was in darkness and a people that were fighting each other and living tribal lives and not working together. The burden of that was on his heart and he went searching for God. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Jew. And he didn't believe in the idols. He wasn't a pagan. He was not an idol worshiper. His nature wouldn't let him do that. He refused to join his people in the worship of false gods, idols. And he went to God, went up in a mountain, way away from his folks and everybody, to ask God whatever rules that rules in this world. He didn't know God. He didn't even know how to call him God. He was not raised in Christianity or Judaism or in any of those religions. He was raised among idolaters, idol worshippers. So he didn't know how to call on the real God. But he went there believing that there is something responsible for all this work I see, this creation, sun rising and setting, stars and moon coming out at night, and rain and wind and all that. He believed that there had to be something responsible for all that. So he went up in the cave to call on that, whatever it was. And when God answered him, he didn't know, he had never heard of that way that God answers the person. He was confused. And he was afraid. He went back to his wife, the only wife he had at that time, Lady Khadija. And he told Khadija, may God be pleased with her. He told her of his experience. And she said, I have an uncle. She had an uncle. Not him. She had an uncle. She said, my uncle knows about the Christian scriptures. See, I'm going to ask him if he can explain. Maybe he can help us with this. And we did. And he said he believed that Muhammad was a prophet that was mentioned in their scripture, Christian scripture, that was promised to the world. Oh, Is Muhammad our prophet in the Bible? Yes, he is. You have to read the Quran more. It's given to you in the Quran that he's in the Bible. Muhammad is in the Bible and is in the Quran, telling us he's in not only the Old Testament, the Torah, but it says he's also in the New Testament, the Injil. This is in the Quran. And it says it gives a description of Muhammad. So he's the one that will lift the heavy burden off the people. Will lift the heavy burden off the people. And will break every bond of slavery. Every bond of slavery. You know, we think of ourselves as African Americans, we think of ourselves as slaves to white people. We don't know, many of us now are slaves to foolishness. Slaves to what you call the good times. And you can't be just by your parents, you can't be just by each other, man and wife, you can't be law and just by each other, because you're under the influence and control of the good times. So there are many false gods. See, in the primitive days, when people didn't have an idea of God, so you start erecting false gods up now, physical gods up now, people are going to laugh at you. But back then, they didn't laugh. If we were living back then in that time and they had idol gods, I'm pretty sure the biggest god on American land, on the United States, on the proper land of the United States, will be a god called Good Times. And the people by the millions will come out every Sunday and just carry on for the God of Good Times. Now, see, it's not a situation anymore for us to take our hands and make a God and erect it and then say, this is the God. But believe me, the influence is just as real now in us as a false controlling us, a false God. As it was for those people who build those monuments, all those big statues, and that's our God. And a lot of times, little small statues, little small things. They didn't have much money, poor like some of you all that invest $100 in CPC. You would only have a God about as high as this mic. You ain't got enough money to build one too big. Thank God those days are gone. We can't build our false gods, our Lord, but nevertheless, the influences are ruling in us, and the influences control our life, So whatever you give yourself to, if it controls your life, it's your false god. If it's not the real god, it's your false god. I want to now mention just a few things that we hope to do as a collective body of people investing to make money, to make a profit, so that we will be able to take care of ourselves better, our dependents better, and also be able to give part of our income to take care of our schools better, that's owned by our people in this community, our Claire Muhammad preschool, elementary school, high school, and even colleges. Atlanta, I do believe, will soon have a two-year college, if not a four-year college. And we want to be able to take care of these responsibilities and not fear we're going to lose them or have to operate in some inferior way that really shames us as Muslims. We can't continue to have our weekly religious programs in storefronts that not far from whiskey houses, in a neglected area of the town, shames us. More progressive people, no matter how much they love the religion, they don't want to come in those areas. So we only keep a few people that don't care for us, and it makes us look bad. Islam has over 1 billion people believing in it. More than 1 billion people on this earth believe in Islam. Islam has people running governments. And it didn't just start today, it has been going on for 14 centuries, 1400 years. Islam has people running governments, taking care of nations. Islam has doctors and people in all the sciences. Islam has people running banks and owning banks, and it's been going on for hundreds of years, maybe 1400 years. In fact, it has, because the first bank was established at the time of our prophet. Based on math was established in the time of our prophet. So these things have been going on. Muslims take it. Muslims run the world. They do. They run the world. You think America runs the world? You think the United States runs the world? It may lead the world, but it's not running the world. That's why the trouble is going on. Because people say, hey, you ain't gonna run my world. Run yours. Don't run mine, too. Not that I'm tripping, not that I'm taking any sides. Don't think this is an indication now that I'm one of those hobbyist, crack, crazy people that always want to attack the United States. No, the United States is my country, and I will defend the United States with all that I got against people that want to destroy the United States. Yes. They don't have to enlist me in the army. If I see that the country needs me too, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make my contribution to its defense. It is nothing but speaking out in its defense, like I'm doing now. I'll do that. Yes. So it doesn't mean that you know, I love my children. But I don't want my children to be over your children and over your house. You got your family, I got mine. You over your house, I'm over my house. Your children under you, my children under me. I don't want your children under me, and I don't want my children under you. Same way it is with nations. This is our nation. I don't want them over us, and I don't want to be over them. I don't want the president over their country, and I don't want their presidents over our country. I don't want our government running their affairs, and I don't want their government running our affairs. See, the thinking of a good parent is what we need in government people. Then we have a more peaceful world. We have a better world. We love one another. We respect one another. We respect one another. And we want to see the other nation with the dignity that God created it for, like we want to see our nation with the dignity God created our nation for. That's how we want the world to shape up one day. So you can be good and not be crazy. This world is so sinful, they think a good man is a stupid man. Oh, he lost some of his marbles. He's too good. No, you don't have to lose your marbles when you're walking the path to perfection. You want to be good, you want to be perfect before God, you can keep walking that path and don't have to leave your marbles behind you in the road. Something wrong with your vision. Something wrong with your sights on where you have to go when you have to start thinking crazy by losing your senses to get to God. You don't have to lose your senses, because every step to God should be a step in progress for your intelligence as well as for your soul. Not just for your soul, but also for your intelligence. Thank God I'm that kind of person. I struggle all the time to get near and near to my God. And it makes me stronger and stronger in my soul, and it makes me wiser and wiser in my head. Yes. So I'm going to bring this to a close. We passed our time. In fact, the broadcast is concluded. But I think the listening audience enjoyed and benefited from what we told them.
Back there!
And all that.
And we hope that you, in this small audience, have also benefited.
Yes. Very much.
Praise be to Allah. So in concluding, I want to say to you that collective purchasing conference, this business, is owned only by its investors. This is legal on paper. It's a partnership, and every investor comes in as an owner, not just an investor. You are an investor and you are an owner. And some of you are worried about your interest. When you request your interest, we get right on it and we report to you your interest. And most of you are worried about your gain. Have I profited anything? Do we have some profit? We don't have any profit right now, except in our investments. If we get more money, we're not going to hold it and say it to people. If we see an opportunity to build a company and make it bigger so that we have a capacity to produce more and have more money next month, next year, we're not going to give that money to Deputy Dean Muhammad. I haven't taken a penny in salary or anything else from this business. I wouldn't have even accepted that I'd be the leader of it if I thought I had to get a salary for it. I knew I could get a salary. My salary comes from people who support my ministry. Deputy Muhammad's ministry. That's where my salary comes from. And then I'm able to go to God and test me because of my situation with you. People know about me, they want to hear me speak, and they pay me money. Morehouse College invited me for a ceremony. They wanted to recognize me and put my picture in exhibit with Dr. King, Mahatma Gandhi, and another big, important religious person from Asia. I went there for the ceremony. The ceremony was giving us money. Not me, us. Anytime I get more recognition, you get more recognition. How in the world can your leader get more recognition and you not get recognition? In fact, they're recognizing not Claire Muhammad's son. They're recognizing your leader. That's who they're recognizing. So I can't even get recognition without you. I get recognition because I'm working with you, and you support me. Now, if I wasn't doing a pretty good job, no recognition. When they recognize me, that tells you that man must be of value to them, if not to us. So they recognize me, and I told them, they said, well, we're gonna give you, send you an honorary. I said, no, look, what this is doing for me in the image of my community is worth more than your money do. They still insisted upon giving it to me, and they sent it to the secretary, and he received it and gave it to me. Secretary of the pot right here, sitting on the front row over here. They sent it to him, and I received the money. The same college that we donated to some years ago. When we had more money to donate, we donated to several African-American colleges, black colleges, and Morehouse was one of them. But they gave me, they insisted that I take the money. So I took it. But as Brother John, I gave him some of it for the business, for the office, for the ministry. I gave him a portion of it for the ministry. Now I learned that's the way people do it, you know. So you make money, if you make money outside of your community, you're not serving your congregation, somebody else invited you. You're not the guest of your congregation. If you make money, you should remember that you only in that position to do that because you are the leader of that congregation. Your reputation has built up, have grown because of your leadership with those people. I'm talking to you emails now.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking up in your pocket.
Work on it.
Now, a lot of you all, since my leadership, a lot of you all got government positions.
Yeah.
And you're making good money. Since my leadership, you're making good money. I'm gonna tell you, the community got a right to some of that money. And I don't mean MAS. Because MAS ain't your leader, I'm your leader. So WDM Ministry got a right to some of that money. Praise be to Allah. Some of you are going back to school, you tell me. You got desire because you were inspired by what I said. And you thank me and thank me. But when you get that professional check, remember WDM Ministry. The mosque here. And I know you're hearing that name because it's our legal name now. The mosque here. And I insist upon it being the mosque here. Not mosque here. Mosque here means the things that the mosque have that it's caring for. The mosque here is a statement. It means the mosque cares about its obligation. To Muslims and also to our Christian neighbors. To our society here in America. We care about our obligation. Prophet Muhammad said that God pressed upon him so hard in respect to the neighbor. He said he began to think at one time that the neighbor was going to inherit him. You know what that means? The prophet was thinking that God was insisting that he keep good relations with the neighbor and care for his neighbor because there was going to come a time when his own people wouldn't be supporting him. And his own people wouldn't carry on his works. Inheriting him means they will inherit his responsibility to carry on his works. That's what inherit him means. So he was thinking that. Now, that's not so, but isn't that a hint to us? That it's possible that your own people may one day drift away in mind and lose sight on the value you were to them. And it might be people that you weren't even leading that might recognize you or discover you and pick you up and carry on your works. Yeah, that was a hint to us. And believe me, when I was in those little small temple walls, I was so uptight. I said, They're going to be surprised. So I began to introduce my ministry. Okay, you can have this FOI and this MDT and all this stuff. You can have it. If you don't want to go with me and mix with all the good people and embrace all the good people in the world, then I'm going to leave you. Those who want to come with me, you come. So, we have the Nation of Islam, we have American Muslim Mission, and then I started WDM Ministry. And I called it at first Mecca. M-E-C-C-A. Mecca. Muslim Community. What was that?
Muslim Assistance.
M-A-C-A. Muslim American Community Assistance.
Yes.
That was it, Mecca. The M-A-C-A, Muslim American Community Assistance. And I organized that, and incorporated it. So I would be free to reach many people with our work. I saw that if I stayed in the temple or in American, and that idea with them, long as I stayed with them and didn't have an independent situation from which to work, I knew we weren't going anywhere. We weren't going anywhere. Yeah, we were going somewhere. We were going out of business. Yeah? They were taking us out of business. So I had to reorganize. So I did reorganize. And I will never operate again under the administration of people who follow me, or say they do, and support my leadership, but won't go anywhere except where they are pleased to go. If I say something that makes them a little uncomfortable, they sit down. God makes us uncomfortable. That's why he says, "Spirit of a difficulty, come easy." Now, he doesn't want it difficult for us, but he has to make us uncomfortable to get us ready to do the work that will take us to the comfortable time. So he says, "Surely the difficulty comes in." And God says to us in our Holy Scripture, he says, "I don't want difficulty for you. I want that you be purified." And it's difficult for God, for us, to purify ourselves as God wants us to be purified. If you're in the habit of having sex whenever you want to, and any girl you want to, and you become a Muslim, you can't do that. So God doesn't want you to have that difficulty. He wants you to be purified. I'm sure if he was human like us, he'd be crying when he see you all uptight and obeying him and not going out there doing that bad thing. I'm sure if God was real human, he would cry some tears too, and he would have to. Because he loves us, he doesn't want to see us in difficulty. The same for anything that we're doing that's improper or bad for our future life, present and future life. We have to get rid of it, and it's difficult to do so, but this is the process of purification. It involves the difficulty. Yes. And the result, once you give your soul to God, and you're happy to do the life, live the life that he wants you to live, doesn't mean you ain't going to commit no more sins, but your sins are going to be reduced to a small amount in comparison to what the sins were before. And you're going to be so happy, you're going to live so good, you're going to be like a man in fitness and top shape every day. And that's a good feeling. Yeah. To be in physical good shape every time you wake up, that's a real good feeling. But that ain't nothing compared to the good feeling in the soul when the soul is fit. Yeah. Yeah. So there are many rewards for the person who will give his life to God and work for that purpose. And we can't do that staying home reading the Holy Quran and doing dhikrs and waiting for another meeting to pray some more and do some more dhikrs. No, I'm not saying this to criticize such person. I love such people. But I want to see them get their head straight so they can be productive in this world we live in. Yes. Muhammad the Prophet, there was a person just like that. And the people who knew this person, they wanted to show this person off to Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon the Prophet. So they said, this man here, he fasts all the fasts. He prays all the prayers, etc., etc. And Muhammad the Prophet said, who takes care of him? Because they didn't say he works 4 hours or part-time or 8 hours. They didn't say that. So Muhammad heard all that spiritual talk, and he wondered who takes care of him. They said, we do. So then you all are better than he is. That's what Muhammad said. He said, well, then you all are better than he is. So he should have been bringing you all in here to me. To tell me that you all have taken care of him. And you're a good Muslim. You love me. Yeah, that's what the Prophet wanted, you know. These people that love me, and they're working, taking care of themselves, and also take care of you, you do another little fasting and prayer. And a person like that, we don't see them out here working. Don't see them having any work. Look at it. I guarantee you, back home, he's breaking his fast at the wrong time. At home, he's missing prayer. Before us, he's making all his prayer. Before us, he's fasting even after Ramadan. He's still fasting. Hey, I'm happy to be with you all anytime. You all make me feel good. Thank you. Peace be unto you. Pray for each other as you're doing. because we need prayers. As-salamu
alaykum. Be sure and join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of WB Mohammed.